Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. Construction has started on the Thompson Island Living Shoreline Project in Rehoboth Beach. The project, on part of Delaware Seashore State Park, is the start of installing devices in the water as a large-scale, nature-based engineering solution to protect the island's shoreline while also enhancing the aquatic environment around the island. For this edition of Enlighten Me, Delaware Public Media's Joey Urzeri speaks with the project's manager, Bob Collins, of the Delaware Center for the Inland Bays, about this living shoreline and its expected impact, including the history and cultural significance of Thompson Island it can help preserve.
Construction has now started for the Thompson Island Living Shoreline Project. What is this project?
It's a living shoreline project located in northern Rehoboth Bay, and the project is designed to, for a number of things, but to stop erosion on Thompson Island, which is part of Delaware Seashore State Park, and it's often been referred to as one of the most important cultural assets in the state of Delaware.
Now, you just gave us a little piece of where Thompson Island is. So where is it again exactly there near Delaware Seashore Park?
The island itself is located in northern Rehoboth Bay, right between Dewey Beach and the Lewis and Rehoboth Canal.
Okay, thank you very much for that. What kind of timeline are we looking at for this project? With construction just starting, how long should it take to complete?
Okay, well, this is the first phase of the project, and we hope to be completed by the 15th of October for phase one.
How many different phases are there in this project?
There's a number, but unfortunately, right now, this is the only one that's funded.
And how's the funding coming in? Where does that go through? Is that through the state, federal grants, a little of everything?
Yeah, it's a combination of state, federal, and even some private grants.
Now, Living Shoreline Project, what are exactly Living Shorelines? How does that work exactly for people who may not be familiar with it?
Yeah, you know, Living Shorelines are, we call them natural or nature-based solutions, and they're designed site specifically for the amount of energy that's in the water, and what we look to do is to mimic nature. This particular project, you know, we're looking to make an artificial reef similar to what an oyster reef would look like, and that'll slow down the wave energy and prevent erosion. Some other tactics in lower energy situations would include core logs. They could include oyster shells, oyster shell bags, plants, Spartina, Alterna flora, and Spartina patens are often used in these types of projects. This project here is it's a high energy situation, so we're using kind of a big solution on here.
Now the project is going to use 400 wave attenuation devices. How are they used? What are they for? And, you know, how basically do they function?
They look like a pyramid, and they're about 3.5 feet tall, and they're engineered so that they have baffles or holes that are in the located in the side. What happens is that a wave will or wave energy will hit up against the we call them wads, to and it'll dissipate the energy, but it doesn't reflect it straight back. So what you do is you slow the intensity of the energy in the water, but you're not like a seawall or something like that that would just push it straight back and cause erosion in other places. So what this really does is it kind of softens the blow of the wave energy that's coming from the south in Rehoboth Bay.
Has a project like this been done anywhere here in Delaware or in the region or from somewhere else where people can maybe get an idea or they can look up to see how it works?
Yeah, I'm only aware of one other project that has used wads in the inland bays, and that's at a project in Indian River Bay. They have been used up and down the East Coast. I can't give you off the top of my head where any of these other larger projects are.
But it's something that's been done before. This isn't like a new project, a new thing being done here at Thompson Island.
No, it definitely it has been done. And, you know, within the environmental community, living shorelines are really taking hold. And, you know, not only does the state of Delaware have a living shoreline committee that meets quarterly to discuss tactics and implementation and the science of it, there is a, you know, regional group through Restore America's Estuaries that looks at the science of living shorelines and hopefully, you know, installs appropriate measures for the erosion regime that's going on in a particular location.
There's another aspect of this whole project, and it's one maybe people may not think, and that Thompson Island is special for the Nanticoke Indian tribe. What's the cultural significance there?
It's significant, and by no means am I an expert on the indigenous populations here in Delaware. But the history does go back about 3,000 years, where it's been referred to as the paleo-indigenous peoples of the area, primarily the Lenape, and now the Nanticokes. And it's been used for a number of things, but it appears that it was more of a I'm looking for the term that I had here, but basically it was used by small bands that would come to the area. You know, Rehoboth Bay was a great place for oysters and crabs and fish, and so they would come here to, you know, to enjoy the bounty of the inland bays, if you will, and also their ceremonies within the area. It's an important archaeological area because of the significance to the Nanticokes and the Lenapes.
Was it difficult to come up with a plan for this project that is not only functional, it hits all the environmental guidelines and standards, but still also holds that cultural significance?
Well, it has been a long time coming. One of the most important things that you do on here is you do a site assessment. And that's a very technical document that characterizes everything from the wind, predominant wind energy, soils, natural resource inventory. And that takes a good amount of time and effort. We develop the plan, and going through the permitting process on something like this is extensive, as it should be. We want to make sure that we're not doing more harm than good, and that we want to use appropriate tactics, that we're not adversely affecting, say, horseshoe crabs or, wading birds or those types of things out here. Funding is always an issue. This project is probably going to be about $1 million once it's all said, just this one portion of it. And then implementation. And that's where we are right now. And it's, whenever you're doing work on the water, it can get tricky in relation to winds and tides. And this one's no different. We're dealing with very shallow water, but we're trying to move, structures out there that are, they're a little bit over a ton apiece. You need a qualified marine contractor to do it. So it's been quite a project. And as I said, we really have not found funding for other portions of it, although that's coming up next.
What would be the next portion of the project?
There would be another array of wads in the reef out just south of the of where this current reef is going. This one's that we're building now is about 648 linear feet. That one will be much shorter, and that's on the south side of the island where the highest fetch is. Fetch is the length of water over which wind travels before it hits the land, and that generate the more fetch, the more energy wave energy that you tend to get. So on either side, on the west side, on the Rehoboth-Lewis Canal, there would be a lower energy, more traditional living shoreline that will involve core logs and oyster shell bags. On the west side, or the east side of the island, it'll be more core logs and smaller structures going in the water. You're not dealing with as much energy there.
Thanks to Bob Collins with the Delaware Center for the Inland Bays and our Joe Irizarry for enlightening us this week.